What's up, everyone? It's Josh from the JK No Dobbins Show coming at you here. Just wanted to go over a couple things I noticed about the Week 4 game. Obviously, a win there for our Baltimore Ravens in Denver, as we all thought that it was going to be. You know, I think everybody had some reservations about this Denver Broncos squad coming in to Week 4 here. Obviously, I mean, you can only play who's on your record, but when who's on your record is a collective 0-9, I think it raises some question marks for anybody that watches football regularly, myself included. So just wanted to share some quick takes with you, some thoughts and observations that I had. Obviously, Kwesi and I will get into this a little bit deeper probably Monday or Tuesday of next week. But while it was fresh in my head, I wanted to get this down and out to you. So obviously, we'll start here. First off, offensive side of the ball. You know, it was clear, and if you can't tell by Vic Fangio's comments at the end of the game, it was obviously clear that the Denver Broncos wanted to stop the Ravens from running the ball, and clearly it was on their defensive game plan to prevent them from running for 100 yards yesterday. Obviously, that didn't happen. But, you know, I thought Denver came out and they did exactly that. You know, saw a lot of loaded boxes, you know, five, six guys on the line, eight, sometimes nine-man boxes. And it was really hard for Latavius Murray and Le'Veon Bell and Devonta Freeman to get any space. You know, I did think it was a little weird. I thought Tyson Williams has proven to be our best ball carrier so far to this point in the season. It was really odd to see him as a healthy scratch. You know, I understand you brought Le'Veon Bell in for a reason, and you know, you want to get him some time and see what he can do for that running back room. But it just seemed that you know, if anybody should have sat out that game, it probably should have been Devonta Freeman. You know, I think Tyson Williams has been toting the rock for us pretty well here. You know, I obviously Le'Veon Bell's vision, I think it was on, even on the limited touches that he had, I thought it was on pretty good display yesterday. I think, you know, he's not really the archetype running back that the Ravens have had over the last couple seasons. You know, you want a guy that gets the ball, sees the hole, hits the hole hard, and runs downhill, falls forward. Le'Veon Bell's not been that guy. He's more of a patient running back in the backfield, uses his vision to set up to see where he wants to go, kind of set linebackers up for a different way, cuts, makes a jump cut, and he's off the other direction. He did that to Baltimore numerous times when he was playing for Pittsburgh. You know, I thought he looked better in pass protection than he did actually running the ball. But, you know, Latavius Murray and Devonta Freeman, they didn't crack any either. You know, but it was good to see that Baltimore still stuck with that. You know, they knew that obviously that's their identity. You know, they're going to be a running team. They're a run-first team. And it was good to see that, you know, when they weren't getting chunk yards like they were used to, you know, they still kept with it. They still kept trying to wear out that defensive front. And credit to the Broncos, you know, they didn't really falter ever throughout that game. So obviously there wasn't as much space up front that we are used to seeing, but you know, we still got 100 yards out of it, kept that record going. And by the way, while we're on the subject, you know, I got to address these comments that came out at the end of the game yesterday, and then in Fangio's press conference. Well, I guess not yesterday. Good Lord, it's Tuesday already. Wow. Sunday, and then his press conference on Monday. You know, I think it was I don't even really have any words, to be completely honest with you, for what I heard. You know, the insult, as John Harbaugh described it, which is completely, that's 100% what it was. You know, that was Vic Fangio was a part of this organization, and for him to say that player safety is secondary to the Ravens organization, I think that's just I think that's a cop out. You know, it's not like dropping back with 3 seconds left, throwing a flea flicker Hail Mary, trying to put more points on the board, you know. This is something that the Baltimore Ravens have worked hard for. You know, the players, coaches, the entire organization has been built around their ability to run the football over the last 3 years. It's a record that's stood for 40 years now, and the Ravens have a opportunity to tie it now, break it, you know. And for him to quote player safety, like, he's at the 50-yard line with 30 seconds left in the game, calling all three of his timeouts, trying to get a late score here, a window dressing score. Like, if you're really concerned about player safety, just kneel him out and go into the locker room. You know, Lamar Jackson on a design quarterback sweep came around the edge, got his 4 yards, sat down, and the game was over. Like, I think it's kind of a baseless point that he's making there, and it's a dig at the Baltimore Ravens. Clearly, it was part of their defensive game plan to keep the Ravens under 100 yards rushing, and when they, you know, came into that game high, you know, 3-0, obviously, you know, they're playing who's on their record, so they can't help the fact that, you know, whoever they're playing is a collective 1-9 there, or excuse me, 0-9, coming into yesterday's or Sunday's game. You know, they can only play who's on their schedule, but, you know, let's call a spade here. I mean, you're playing both New York teams and the Jaguars. You played two rookie quarterbacks, two rookie head coaches, and all of a sudden you think you're top five team in the league. It's just, I thought it was a pretty ridiculous thing for him to say about a fellow competitor in the league. But anyway, moving on. So, yeah, I mean, I guess the run game, whereas it wasn't as productive as we're used to seeing as Baltimore Raven fans, I think, you know, I was obviously effective enough. We made them stay honest. Their linebackers were really engaged on our pulling guards, pulling tackle, play action, things like that, and it was creating some huge holes in the back end for Lamar Jackson to just lay that ball in. And, you know, obviously not bad for a running back there. He had 316 yards 37 attempts, 22 completions there. So, obviously, he's slinging that rock pretty good. So, you know, moving into the offensive line, obviously that was a big question mark week one. You know, kind of righted the ship there a little bit week two. You know, and I think they're continuing that trend. You know, I feel like that line's going to gel together a little bit each week, excuse me. I think biggest thing that I can take away from pass protection or the offensive line in general is Ben Cleveland needs to be starting at the left guard. You know, Tyree Phillips is out. They put Ben Powers in there. He got blown up on three different plays. One play, Lamar barely has the ball in his hands, and Ben Powers is already laying on his back. Like, I mean, for sheer size alone, you know, I think Ben Cleveland is the option to go there. You know, there was a couple reach blocks there that Ben Cleveland was able to get off the ball quick, get across as the nose tackle was working across the center's face, and give a little bit of help there. So I was pretty impressed with that. But, you know, overall, Lamar had plenty of time to throw. You know, I looked at the next-gen stats yesterday, and on the season, Lamar Jackson has right about 3.9 or 3.19 seconds to throw the ball, which is leading the league. So I don't really think the offensive line is that much of a question mark. Obviously, you'd like to have Ronnie Stanley back. Good news last week was he's avoided another or his second or maybe even a third surgery on that ankle. So hopefully we can get some rehab going on that over the next few weeks, get him back into the lineup. Also good news, John Harbaugh did say that Big Al, Alejandro Villanueva there, avoided a major injury on the knee. He did leave Sunday's game with a knee injury. He was actually out, missed a couple of days of practice last week with the same injury, aggravated it there in that Denver game. But he did avoid anything major. So, yeah, I mean, pass protection obviously looks solid. Had plenty of time to throw. The numbers kind of speak for itself, you know. And a collective unit with the receivers that bounce had definitely had a bounce back game. Obviously, you know, goes without saying, Hollywood Brown. I think it was huge for him to have that kind of game on the heels of, you know, a disappointing turnout there in Detroit. He obviously wasn't happy with that. You know, I think, you know, the coaching staff, Lamar Jackson, the offense, they knew that was just a one-off. You know, you're going to have guys are going to have off weeks. That's absolutely what Detroit was. I think a lot of people around the league, a lot of media outlets and whatnot, were putting a lot of heat on the Baltimore Ravens after squeaking by with a close victory there in Detroit. But I, you know, Marquise Brown catches two of the three touchdowns that he had in his hands. It's a completely different story. You know, we're not even having that conversation. So. Obviously a bounce back game there. It's really good to see that when one thing isn't working as well as the Ravens wanted to do, they have the quarterback that can make the plays with his arm, which everybody that's a Ravens fan that actually watches Lamar Jackson play the game of football consistently, knows that he can make any throw that he needs to make. I think the most exciting thing is how many receivers he got involved into the game. You know, Mark Andrews had a big game. Sammy Watkins had a big game in some spots. Obviously, Marquise Brown had a huge game. Even James Prochet had a career day. Devin Duvernay was getting involved. You know, distributing the ball to all of his wide receivers is very important, especially, you know, hopefully for this Colts game, we get Rashad Bateman back into the mix and see what he's able to do. I don't know. I don't know if it'll happen. Obviously, you know, he hasn't practiced with the team since the end of July, or maybe it was beginning of August when he went out for that groin surgery. But I think, you know, Lamar's got some weapons. And the way Detroit and Denver back-to-back weeks have played the Ravens is really benefiting that passing game. They're getting their linebackers all the way up next to the line of scrimmage. They're loading the box. They're putting some defensive backs in there to contend with Lamar Jackson's speed. And if you watch, their safeties are just 15, 20 yards down the field, or they're going one-on-one with their cornerbacks and cheating the safeties up to try to get extra people in there to handle the run game. And it's just leaving huge holes for Sammy Watkins and Marquise Brown and Mark Andrews and everybody to exploit underneath, and Lamar Jackson's laying that ball out there, and he's hitting him, you know, in stride, making some great plays in the passing game. You know, back-to-back weeks, Lamar Jackson has thrown the ball over 30 times, and it's resulted in two wins. I don't have the stats right in front of me, but usually Lamar Jackson doesn't throw 30 times a game, and when he does, we usually lose. So, you know, it's another evolutionary thing to his game. You know, everybody keeps telling, you know, Lamar, and the general consensus in the media is, you know, everything that he can't do. He can't throw. He can't throw it outside. He's only a play action, or he's a running back, or he's, you know, only a tight end. He only throws to his tight ends over the middle of the field. Well, he's every week it's something new that he's proven that he's got in his game. Mechanics look great. His base looks a lot more solid back there in the pocket. He's standing in there. He's surveying the field. And the ball, I think, is popping off of his hand better than I've ever seen it. And it honestly reminds me of Mike Vick back in his Virginia Tech days, or when he was first fresh into the league. You know, it's just a flick of the wrist and the ball is just flying downfield. And he's throwing it with beautiful touch as well, you know. And the linebackers, when they read the play action and realize it's a pass as they're dropping in, you know, trying to cut down those underneath routes, you know, safeties over the top. Lamar Jackson's got the perfect amount of touch to just be able to put it right over the linebacker, right underneath the safeties. Saw that a couple plays over to Mark Andrews on Sunday, and also over to back to the Detroit game. Obviously, the 4th-and-19 dime that he dropped to Sammy Watkins to set up that game-winning field goal there. You know, I mean, the man's got it. You know, he's an MVP for a reason. And I say, I tell you, you know, this run game is still a top five run game in the league, even without J.K. Dobbins or Gus Edwards here. And it's been really impressive to watch, truthfully. And the evolution of the passing game, which every week has gotten stronger, and it will continue to get stronger as we get more pieces back. Ronnie Stanley comes back into the mix, Rashad Bateman, Miles Boykin. You know, doesn't seem that anybody can really cover Mark Andrews for 60 minutes. It's just going to continue to get better. And, you know, coming into the season, obviously, privately, you know, for the inaugural episode of the podcast here, I haven't said this, haven't had this take yet, but, you know, I thought that, you know, the Ravens didn't need the Kansas City Chiefs offense. Lamar Jackson didn't need to be Patrick Mahomes with his arm, you know, making those kind of plays. With that dominant running game, top five, top three running game in the league, the Baltimore Ravens offense could be top 10, top 15, somewhere in that area. And I think that's exactly where they're sitting right now in the passing game. I think they're sitting right around 12 or 13th in the league in terms of passing statistics or yards per game. But, you know, you look at Lamar Jackson, he's leading the league in both yards per completion and yards per attempt. You know, everybody's telling me this is a running offense, but we're finding some great success in the passing game as well, you know. So I think that's going to continue to grow. It seems that everybody's going to be taking a page out of the Broncos and the Lions playbook there defensively to try to limit the amount of success, the amount of success that the Ravens have on the running game. But, you know, Lamar Jackson can just sit back there and drop dimes all day long, and then that's going to open up lanes in the running game. This is going to be a very dangerous offense, you know, when we get all the pieces back, which is crazy to say. You know, 15 people on IR, you lost every yard and touchdown from your running back room from last year a week before the season. You're signing guys off the street, Latavius Murray on 4 days of preparation plays in the week one game and scores a touchdown. Playing with Tyson Williams, who, you know, hadn't had an NFL carry before week one. Really just a hodgepodge running back room that, you know, they're still succeeding with, obviously. And a lot of that is Lamar Jackson. You know, obviously in the Kansas City game, he had over 100 yards on the ground, 250 through the air. So a lot of those rushing stats are obviously coming from Mr. Lamar Jackson there himself as well. But, you know, he was an MVP for a reason. So, yeah, I mean, offensively, I think the numbers speak for themselves. You know, 23 points, dominated time of possession. I will say third down could get better. You know, coming into the game, they were 30% on the year on third down. Didn't really shine in that aspect. I don't have the stats in front of me. I don't exactly know what they went for there, but they're not getting themselves into those third and shorts as frequently as you'd like to see. A lot of times they're third and five, third and seven. They're of the longer variety, obviously more difficult for this offense to complete. We knew that. But that's definitely a point of emphasis that I think they need to have moving forward. But, you know, all in all, can't complain with a 23-point performance against an undefeated team on the road in Mile High. You know, everything slated to the Ravens' disadvantage, and obviously they went in, handled their business, and did what they needed to do, and took care of it and walked out of there with the win. So, you know, moving over to the defensive side of the ball here, Ravens are always stout up front. They stop to run. there was the one play with Denver's rookie running back Williams there. He straight drugged Marlon Humphrey for about 20 yards. That was a little disappointing to see. But I think after that play, it really I don't know if you can say it galvanized the Ravens defense, but they certainly seemed to pull it together. You know, they stopped the run pretty much from that point on. I think they only allowed, you know, maybe 20, 30 yards on the day. Now, granted, the Denver defense did fall behind on the scoreboard, you know, so that obviously the offense has to come out there and throw a little bit more. Teddy Bridgewater went out, and that was the other thing. That man was under constant duress all day long. 11 quarterback hits, 5 sacks. Adafe Oweh's in his face all day. Tyus Bowser, out of nowhere, out of the clear blue sky, Tyus Bowser finally decides to show up and play some football. Didn't seem that the tackles for the Broncos could really do anything to contain our pass rush, and that's what's so promising, I think, about this defense this year so far, is we've been able to get pressure. I don't want to say consistent pressure yet, but pressure without blitzing. Obviously, you know, Wink Martindale likes to do a lot of the, you know, obviously he's a blitz heavy guy, but you know, even Patrick Mahomes, we were able to put Patrick Mahomes under a lot of pressure there in the week 2 game on Sunday night without blitzing. You know, Adafe Oweh makes the 2 splash plays on defense late in the game, you know, and that first and second level defensive rush that they've got him going on is obviously working out quite well. I don't know. I saw a couple interesting plays where they've lined Dafe up on the end, and you know, he'll bump a tight end if they're getting out into the route, or he'll you know, kind of engage with a linebacker, with the offensive tackle, and almost run like a little game where, you know, he and Calais Campbell, or he and whoever's interior to him, will switch. And then he kind of spies. He'll sit there and he's just watching to figure out which way the quarterback's going. Right there at the end of the second quarter, right there at the end of the half, when, you know, Teddy Bridgewater, actually it was the last play that he was a part of. That's exactly what happened. Adafe came off of his block and he's sitting there kind of playing a spy. And when the seas parted there, he just ran right at Teddy Bridgewater and put a hit on him. And you know, you saw it again later in the game. Drew Locke, he was running out to the boundary. Tyus Bowser ends up getting held on the play. They called it back anyhow, but you know, Adafe Oweh comes off of his block and he hawks Drew Locke down. I'd like to see him make the tackle there in the backfield that next time, but still, it's impressive to see an individual of his stature with that kind of speed and athleticism to be able to play the game that way. It was quite a treat to see. I thought the pressure was there. That was one of the key things out of the Lions game that I didn't think we really had going for us. Obviously we had a lot of personnel out on the COVID list for that game. So, you know, Brandon Williams and Justin Houston and Justin Matabuke, you know, those are 3 starters right there, you know, off of that defensive front. So I think that contributed, obviously, to a lot of the success that the Lions had early in that football game. Late in that football game, in the second half, when they actually, decided to play a little bit more stout football there. So getting those guys back, obviously, was a huge piece of it. But put the pressure right back there on Teddy Bridgewater and Drew Locke, and they couldn't handle it. So that's definitely something that we're going to need to maintain moving forward. The biggest thing that, you know, to get to where the Ravens want to go, obviously, which is a Super Bowl championship. They're gonna have to go through the Chiefs again. You know, I think the Chiefs have a, they certainly have a championship level offense. I don't even know if they have a playoff level defense at this point. It's pretty abysmal. I think it's the worst that I can recall since Patrick Mahomes took over as starter there in Kansas City. But you know, obviously you're gonna need to play him again. You know, and I don't in any way think that the Baltimore Ravens can't beat the Chiefs again. You know, going back looking at that week two game, had Lamar Jackson not thrown that pick six at the beginning of the game, you know, you're not talking about a 1-point victory for the Ravens at home there. You're looking at that game and say, well, the Ravens kind of kicked the shit out of the Chiefs. So, you know, their offense scored 28 points, and they can't stop the run at all. I mean, they gave up over 400 yards on Sunday to the Eagles, and you know, Eagles are, you know, they looked damn good against the Falcons, but I think we all know where the Falcons are going to be at the end of the season. So I don't really know if that can be the benchmark there for the Philadelphia Eagles, but at any rate, you know, the pressure without having to blitz and pull our linebackers and defensive backs and do the exotic things that, you know, Wink Martindale likes to do. Obviously, there's a time and place for that, but the frequency that he has done that in the past has really been what's killed this defense in some of these big games, especially, you know, against the Patrick Mahomes of the world, which, like I say, you want to get to a Super Bowl, you're going to have to go through Kansas City again. So that'll certainly happen. Obviously, the other odd stat the first 3 weeks is seemingly the Baltimore Ravens forgot how to tackle folks. Early in the game, it looked shaky. It didn't look like they really had solved that. Patrick Queen is, I don't know, he's just flat out struggling. You know, in the preseason, I thought he looked damn good. I thought he had developed quite well, come a long way since his rookie season. I thought the preseason, training camp, mini camp, things like that all worked to his benefit. But we got into the regular season, and it just seems like he forgot what he needs to do. So it's just, I don't really know what's going on there, but that's something that needs to get figured out in a hurry. You know, Malik Harrison too. Our linebacking core is not where it needs to be. You know, when LJ Fort went down in training camp, you know, I looked at it and I said, well, you know, I think the goal here was Malik Harrison was going to take over a good portion of LJ Fort's snaps anyway. So this seemed to be a transition that the Ravens were going to make, but maybe not right then. They were kind of forced into it. But Malik Harrison and Patrick Queen are nowhere near ready for that. They definitely need, I mean, I saw Chris Board out there making plays. I can't recall if he actually got subbed in for Patrick Queen and if Patrick Queen got benched, but there was a couple plays where, I mean, he was late to his coverage assignment. He was missing tackles. He was getting washed out of plays. I don't know if it's his speed or what. He's not patient enough, or sometimes he's too patient. I don't know. I'm not going to sit here and pretend that I'm a defensive expert, but, or, you know, understand the nuances of playing middle linebacker in the National Football League, but it's clear that he's struggling, so that's definitely something that needs to be addressed. But tackling as a whole, you know, I think it looked better. Certainly needs to improve further, but I think that's going to come with time. You know, this is a very physical 11 hats to the ball. You know, that's how the Ravens play defense. That's how they've played defense for 20 years. That's how they'll always play defense. That's just what it is. They'll get that figured out. You know, I'm not worried about their tackling situations here. But you know, all in all, on the defensive side of the ball, obviously, aside from the first quarter, aside from Marlon Humphrey getting drugged 20 yards, which that dude they got from for Denver there, that rookie that they got. I mean, he's a monster. He's a real deal. But still, you know, my man put Marlon Humphrey right on his back and carried him for 20 yards. It was pretty frustrating to see. Not only Marlon Humphrey, he carried like six dudes with him. So, you know, all in all, defensively, I thought it was a good effort after the first quarter. Seems like the Ravens settled in when they got some points on the board and they pinned their ears back and started going after the quarterback, doing everything that they needed to do, played that physical brain football I was speaking about earlier. You know, big key, I spoke about it a little bit on the offensive side of the ball, but third down, you know, late in the Detroit game, didn't seem that the Ravens could get off the field when they needed to. When Detroit was in some third down situations, and Detroit coming into that game was the worst team in the league on third down, but they were converting in the second half at a pretty high rate there against the Ravens. Didn't see that against Denver on Sunday. You know, Denver, of course, you know, and even Vic Fangio spoke about that, you know, later in the game. I think, you know, they were trying to stay on schedule, run it on first and second down, and try to get into some third and manageables, you know, maybe third and five, third and four. But the majority of their third downs were third and seven, third and eight, you know, some third and tens in there. So, I mean, obviously it's difficult. It's going to be difficult to convert those against the Baltimore Ravens defense, you know, for whomever. I don't care who you're playing, what team you are. You know, he even spoke about, you know, early in the game, if he got into some fourth and ones, fourth and twos, he was going to try to go for them, but never came to fruition because he was always in third and longs and not picking up any yards. So credit to the Ravens front for that, for sure. You know, I think they ripped us a couple times on some good runs, but the offense and the passing game clicking the way that it did really for the Ravens really took those opportunities away from the Broncos, made them one-dimensional. And then, of course, when your starting quarterback goes out at halftime, you're putting Drew Lock in there. You know, Drew Lock has been the scout team quarterback. He's been playing Lamar Jackson all week. He's not getting those first-team reps. The game plan isn't built for Drew Lock to be the Broncos quarterback, you know, for that game. So they're kind of having to adjust on the fly. So, you know, they kind of had to get away from a couple things when they started to fall behind. But, you know, I certainly do think that, you know, on third down, both offensively and defensively, that's my biggest takeaway from this game. It still needs to improve. You know, you look at the last touchdown, you know, we scored was the Hollywood Brown throw in the first half. You know, everything after that point was field goals. So, I think, you know, we were moving the ball well. You know, they were stuffing us on some third and twos. Gotta get that third down offense worked out a little bit better, and that was the biggest thing back in 2019 where the Ravens went on their 14-2 finished season 14-2, 12 game winning streak to close out the year. Those drives weren't ending in field goals, they were ending in touchdowns. And what was really interesting to see, and I thought it would be maybe a catalyst moving forward out of the Broncos game, was the fourth quarter possession that the Ravens had. They got the ball deep in their own territory and they went on a, you know, 85 yard drive, 7 minutes, unfortunately end up kicking a field goal. But that was the thing that the first, obviously in the Raider game, and the Detroit game, certainly both of those two games, they didn't, when they had an opportunity to go win the game, they didn't go win the game. Well, they certainly checked that box yesterday in Denver. So, more things like that, but one of the biggest thing that, I'm going to be looking for moving forward here is, is their third down efficiency on both sides of the ball. Trended up, definitely took a step in the right direction Sunday, but there's definitely a lot more room for improvement. So, you know, we'll see. We'll see what happens. Obviously got a big one against a conference opponent here. Week five, Monday night at the bank. You know, Indianapolis Colts are coming to town, and they had an ugly game there in Miami. So, you know, we'll see. We'll see what comes of that one. But Kwesi and I will dive into that next week. Going to be a little bit of a short one here for me today with the inaugural episode here of the JK No Dobbins Show. Appreciate you guys listening, and we'll talk to you all next week with Kwesi. Have a good one.